Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Right now, though, today Cabinet signed off on a €2.5 billion fully funded scheme to repair up to 100,000 defective Celtic Tiger apartments. But how exactly is the scheme going to work? How will it be paid for? Well, for more on this, we're joined now from the Dáil studio by Sinn Féin TD and housing spokesperson Eoin O'Brien and Fianna Fáil and Deputy Chair of the Housing Committee Paul McAuliffe. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Just before we get into the meat and bones of this particular issue, I don't know, have either of you, I know you were standing by waiting to speak to us on this issue, but were either of you keeping an eye on what Pascal Donoghue had to say there? Eoin, I might come to yourself on this first, if you have any reaction to what you may have heard.
No, unfortunately, I haven't heard it. I was in with Mary Lou and Pearce for Leaders' Questions today, and I do think it's very disappointing that the government wouldn't allow opposition spokespeople to use their time for a straight question and answer exchange. All of the opposition parties want the minister to answer very specific questions, both about the actual value, the commercial value of the gift in kind that he received, whether that would actually put him over the spending limits, why it took him so long, and why his story has changed four or five times. Unfortunately, we won't get that Q&A opportunity today. So look, we'll have to listen to what he has to say. But certainly, I think, given that this is the first day back of the Dáil and Leo Varadkar's first day back in office as Taoiseach, to be marred in not one but two controversies around Pascal Donoghue and Damien English's dishonest planning application, it's a very, very bad start for the government. Okay. And it seems to suggest that there is one rule for Fine Gael members of government and another rule for everybody else.
Although, of course, Fine Gael have been making the point that there appears to be the same rule for Sinn Féin, and that there are questions indeed for Sinn Féin over various donations.
There are no questions being raised by the government about the accuracy of our adherence to SIPA rules. In fact, all of the things Leo Varadkar raised today, we have fully complied with SIPA rules. The only politicians in the Dáil at the moment who failed to comply either with planning rules or SIPA rules were Fine Gael ministers. That is not an accusation that can be made against our
party. Sure, but you might be fully compliant with SIPA rules now, but Fine Gael, for example, say there are clear answers required on a €7,000 general election poll in 2020, which wasn't declared to SIPO by Sinn Féin for 2 years. And they're wondering how that could possibly have happened.
And first of all, the party has commented publicly to say, we discovered that error. We rectified it immediately with an updated report to SIPO. We didn't wait years and years and years for journalists to expose it and only then fix the matter. And therefore, we acknowledge the mistake. We fixed it in an appropriate manner and we are fully compliant. That is not something that can be said for Pascal Donoghue. And he may well face a SIPO investigation. And the big question here is, did he overspend on that election campaign? Was the actual value of the post ring more than the €1,000 he's saying? And why, when this was raised both in 2017 and in 2022, did he not rectify the matter on those two occasions? Okay. That is not something that can be levelled at Sinn Féin.
Okay, Paul McAuliffe, just on that particular aspect, and I do want to move on to the apartments, but just on the aspect of the questions or lack thereof. So as far as I understand, the way it's been set up today is that opposition parties will now get a chance to make statements or ask questions. Pascal Donoghue will listen to all of them and then pick and choose what questions he wants to answer rather than have a back and forth. Why do it that way when there are clear questions, or fair questions at least, that can be asked and should be answered?
Yeah, well, like Eoin, Sarah, I've been here in the studio, so I haven't had the benefit of hearing either the minister's statement or the other things that were said. But like Eoin, I was in the chamber earlier. And look, I think it is important that the minister has an opportunity to outline his position, not just to the media, but to the House. And I think I welcome that. It's important that the opposition have time in the Dáil schedule to outline their response to do that. And they will have that. And then the minister will respond to it. But the reality is that questioning and back and forth and so on in a politically charged chamber won't actually result in anything. The important thing here is that...
Well, why would it not? Would it not result in clarity? Because this way, the minister gets to choose which questions he wants to answer.
Well, actually, that's not true, because, and I think it's important for people out there know that Ireland has clear limits on spending in elections. They have clear rules around donations, both corporate and non-corporate, to parties and to individuals. And there is a clear investigation process, which in this case was triggered when a complaint was made. It's far more important that answers are given to the Standards and Public Office Commission.
The minister is accountable to the Dáil.
He is.
Is it not important that he answers questions in the Dáil?
And the questions will be put to him today, and the minister will have an opportunity to answer those questions. And if he doesn't answer those questions, the opposition, I have no doubt, will highlight that. But the important thing, Sarah, is that there's an independent, transparent method for investigating it, and that's what's happening. So a complaint has been made to SIPO, okay. and SIPO will decide whether an investigation, first of all, is needed, and secondly, if an investigation is needed, they'll carry out that investigation.
And there are
sanctions as well. So it's important that people out there know that this is not something that's been made up on the hoof. There's very clear guidelines and rules.
Yes,
and we are going to
get into the details of all of that, like I said, a little later on in the programme. I do want to move on to the issue that we invited both of you on to discuss, and that is this cabinet sign-off on a €2.5 billion fully funded scheme to repair up to 100,000 defective Celtic Tiger apartments. Paul, as you know well, the owners of these apartments have been long calling for such a scheme. Do we have any idea at this point who exactly is going to be entitled to redress and how it will be fully funded?
Yeah, well, I think, look, first of all, it's important to clarify what was announced today. And I think there's still many details needed because of the process. So first of all, I think it's an important day for the Construction Defects Alliance and the people who have campaigned with them. They have campaigned for a long time. They met opposition to EDs and spokespeople, including Dara O'Brien when he was in opposition. And I think there was a real hope that the new government and the programme for government would allow the state respond. And that has happened today. The state has indicated that they will legislate for this and that they will fund a remediation scheme. So I think the principle of that is important. But the second part that's really important is that works that are required now, so fire safety works, structure works, water egress, that those works that are needed now, that actually may be putting people's lives at risk, can be carried out, and that they then will be included in any scheme, even in advance of that scheme being finalised, because that ensures that the work is carried out by the owner management company and there's not a kind of moral hazard of waiting to see whether it will be covered or not.
Just clarify that to me now. So say you're living in an apartment at the moment with some of these defects, some of these problems. We're being told this scheme won't be up and running until early next year, which is a full 12 months away. If you have a problem, is the government saying to you, go get the work done and we will refund you the cost?
Yeah, like what owner management companies on a whole of building basis can carry out works from this date, and they then will be eligible to recoup those costs. So I think that is important, because there was a moral hazard there where you almost would be encouraging owner management companies not to take action by virtue of the fact of a scheme not being in place.
And is there not a danger there, you know, if there's no parameters of what will be covered, that people might get work done that then you could turn around in a year's time when the details of the scheme are finally published and say, well, actually that wasn't covered, but this was.
Yeah, and I think that's why we need the housing agency who are going to administer this scheme, not only to just administer grants and so on, but actually to be providing hands-on support to owner management companies. When we say owner management companies, they're really volunteers that agree to be part of a board that runs an apartment building. They're the owners of that building, and they're not experts in procurement and architecture and other areas. So there needs to be hands-on support for those companies, very clear advice about what can
How will they know if the government hasn't decided yet?
Well, look, the government has said is that where it covers those three areas, and we'll see the final details later, but where it covers those three areas, structural, fire safety and water egress, that they will be covered where it's done on a whole of building basis. And I think getting the decision of everybody in a building to agree to sign up is important. There's also issues...
Okay, so that's on a whole of building basis, because that's important. So what if you're stuck in an apartment block where half the people are saying, I don't want to do that?
Yeah, I think that is an issue that the legislation needs to deal with, and also an issue about what is the cash flow implications of that. So even though the works will be covered now, what happens if the owner management company don't have the money up front to be able to do that?
Yeah.
So there are still a lot of details on this. I think it's an important day for those people who have campaigned, who probably thought that this day would never come, but I still think we have a significant amount of work to do, both a committee, but myself and Owen and the minister and many others, to try and make sure that all of these details are ironed out.
I just want to be very clear on this. If there is anyone listening who is in this situation, who has these defects in their apartment block, and if they're on their own, their management company is not moving forward on this, the message is not from government today to go ahead and do the work. Because if they go ahead and do the work on their own, not as a as part of the management company, they might not get a full redress. Is that correct?
First of all, I'd encourage people to read the frequently asked questions that are published by the Department of Housing today. And secondly, it is an important basis that this is done on a whole of building basis, and that it's done, that the funding will be directly to the owner management companies, not to individual owners.
Okay, Owner Brian, what do you think of this? And I know Sinn Féin has broadly welcomed the redress scheme.
Yeah, so first of all, it absolutely is a step in the right direction, and for not just homeowners, but tenants and approved housing bodies who've been campaigning for over a decade, this is a kind of a really important starting point for a redress scheme. I do, like Paul, want to acknowledge not just the Construction Defect Alliance, but also the Apartment Owners Network and the Not Our Fault 100% Redress campaign. And all of those homeowners and OMCs around the country have been struggling with this. What I would say, however, is the devil is in the detail. And what we need from the minister is as quickly as possible for the general scheme of this bill to be published, so we actually get initial answers to many of the questions you've outlined. What we saw with the minister's announcement in October 2021 with respect to the defective block redress scheme for people with a defective block in Donegal, Mayo Clare and elsewhere, is that the government made a very big announcement in October 2021. But when we actually saw the legislation, it wasn't 100% redress for many homeowners. It'll only be 70%. Many areas of work were excluded from the scheme, such as foundations. Crucially for folks with defective block, there was no retrospection. And I think those people now rightly have a demand that they get that as well. And the kind of
and
questions
you asked...
they are
getting that, aren't they, the retrospective
not,
works?
Not the folks in Donegal, Mayo,
oh, in
Clare
Donegal,
or
sorry.
Others.
Yes, yeah.
But the kind of questions you've raised, I think, are really important because if an owner's management company is to proceed, and we're not just talking about apartments, we're also about talking about duplexes, and we're talking about houses, sometimes in multi-unit development, sometimes on their own. If an owner's management company is to proceed with the works, they need to know what is going to be refunded and what is not, if we're going to have 100% retrospective redress as well. And then the crucial thing is this, because the government are great at throwing out big figures. There is no money in the budget allocation for 2023 for any of this work. And that includes, for example, the emergency and interim measures. That could be fire safety wardens, sprinkler systems, or emergency work to balconies. And therefore, very quickly, we need to know what money is available this year for those emergency works, but also how much money is going to be available next year and the year after. And the final thing I'd say is I don't believe that we need 12 months to get the legislation right. There is a strong cross-party consensus going back to 2018 when our Oireachtas Housing Committee published the Safest Houses report that I drafted on how to deal with this properly. I actually think we could have the legislation and the regulations through within a six-month period if we all put our shoulder to the wheel, because the sooner the scheme is up and running, the legislation is passed and people know where they can go to apply and get information, the better for everybody. So this is the first step. But as we've seen with defective block in Donegal, Mayo, Clare and others, they were promised a new scheme by the end of last year. The regulations aren't finished. It might not be until the middle of this year. And there are huge problems with that scheme. I would urge, first of all, the minister not to make the same mistake with this new scheme, but also to go back and fix the problems with defective block, give those people 100% redress, as well as people with Celtic Tiger era fire safety and structural defects, give them retrospective support.
How much would that cost, Owen, what you're suggesting there?
So the figures, both from the two independent reports on defective block and on building defects, at the upper limit would run to a figure of 5 billion euros. Everybody understands that this is a 10-year plan, that this is going to take 10 years to clean up this mess. And we also have to go back to that discussion around not only the taxpayers' contribution, because it was light-touch regulation by government that allowed this to happen, but industry, particularly large profitable companies that with a small levy could make a significant contribution, need to be brought to the table.
Didn't Sinn Féin oppose the budget concrete levy of 10% when it was introduced in the budget?
Absolutely, because that levy wasn't on profits of large companies. It was a very large levy on a single product, and the cost of that would have been borne in many cases by defective homeowners themselves. A much better approach, which we've been arguing for a decade, is a more modest levy on the profits of large profitable companies, including banks and construction sector companies, that could raise a similar, if not larger, amount of money with less chance of it being passed on to the consumer. Well,
and that is the key line there, though, isn't it? Less chance. I mean, is there less chance? It's just perhaps less obvious how it's being passed on to the consumer, going to be passed on one way or another, isn't it?
Not necessarily. And the fact that the government hasn't even sat down with these sectors to have this negotiation speaks volumes. But if you take, for example, some of the large construction sector companies, the PLCs, they've been running very, very considerable profits. And if you read their annual reports, they actually tell you that they haven't even passed on some of the construction sector inflation, 6 to 10% over the last couple of years. I'm not saying it would be easy. But if you were looking at the overall cost, there were two guilty parties here. There was light touch regulation introduced by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in the 80s and 90s, despite warnings from many people in the Oireachtas and outside. And there was shoddy practice by industry. Both need to make a contribution. But what is crucial is the owners of these properties and the tenants living them and the approved housing bodies need 100% redress, and they need it as quickly as possible, whether you're in Donegal, Mayo, Clare with defective block, or anywhere else in the country with fire safety and water ingress defects.
Paul, how long is it going to be before we get the detail on this? Because I know if I was in a management company of an apartment block or if I was a single apartment owner or anybody affected by this, I would be very slow to be doing work on the promise of 100% redress without seeing exactly what is going to be refunded to me.
Yeah, look, and I think the publication of the general scheme is important. And I also think, as I say, that the housing agency are involved in providing advice from now or very soon thereafter to owner management companies. So I think those two things are clear. Like, in reality, there is not going to be any applications in 2023, and therefore there will be no funding allocation for 2023.
So there's no money set aside for this year for this?
No, because the reality is that the legislation hasn't even yet been published.
Owner Brin says it could be done in 6 months.
I hear what Owen says, but I also know that every time we've piece of legislation, there's calls from the opposition to have increased pre-legislative scrutiny, that if we try and push bills through, that we're denying democracy and so on. So I take that with a pinch of salt. I'm very conscious of the workload that's in front of us, that the pipeline legislation around things like the planning bill, a huge omnibus bill around marine area planning for offshore wind and so on. So let's be realistic. This is a group of people who have waited a long time. Today is an important day because they've got the signal from government that government not only is listening, and where previous governments didn't listen, not only are they willing to act where previous governments didn't act, the government is giving a very clear indication of what they're going to do. Yeah. The legislation will tie that down. As I say, it's a good day for those people who are in this position.
And would you be hopeful that it will actually happen even in early 2023? Because if we look at what's been happening with the micro redress scheme introduced, announced in July 2022, yet today a statement from the defective concrete homeowner representatives say the enhanced scheme is still not operational.
It isn't, and Owen has outlined where that's at. It's at the regulation stage. Look, that's why I'm not suggesting here, and I don't think we should suggest any sort of false hope. The legislation will take time to pass. We do need to hear from stakeholders in passing it. We can't pass a bill and not listen to the people who've campaigned for it for more than a decade. So it will take more than 6 months to pass this bill. It will be passed, and then that assistance will be available. The important thing is that works that are immediately needed and required, that they will be covered where they're covered under the details of the scheme.
And your advice is go to the housing agency if you need advice on what you
can and
can't do.
And anybody in that position, Sarah, there is frequently asked questions available on the department's website, and I encourage owner management companies not only just to read those but to engage with the Apartment Owners Network of the Construction Defects Alliance, who've been working on this too.
We'll leave it there for the moment. Paul McAuliffe from Fianna Fáil and owner Brin of Sinn Féin, thank you both.